whose sake I trusted to be saved. Tell her that she and my brother cannot see me again on earth, but they can meet me in heaven. I know that I am going there. T.S. Chandler, 6th South Carolina Regiment. Amen. That was well over 100 years ago. Here's one. I don't know if the man was saved, but his epitaph and his sure beautiful portrait anyway. To the body of Benjamin Franklin, printer. Like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilded, lies here food for worms. Yet the work itself shall not be lost, for it will appear once more in a new and more beautiful edition, corrected and amended by the author. Amen. Now, I'd hate to go to hell with an epitaph like that. Well, we're getting close to what the scripture calls in the twilight, in the evening, in that black and dark night. And thank God I'm going to be gone. And I know where home is. I go out and look often, and I got some folks I'd like to see again. I'm a little old-fashioned, getting out of place down here, getting kind of weary. And I don't have to pack up, thank God. It's good to be saved and know it. Well, I don't know what to preach to you as I ought. I thought about preaching on "It's Not Over Till the Fat Lady Sings." You know who that is, don't you? Fat lady over there in Nahum. Huzzah. That's that Catholic thing. When those 10 horns up there get rid of her. And the beast throws her off, and she goes up Tabrin. Boy, that's over for her. Thank God. I got about that many books and pages of my brothers and sisters that she's killed and burned at the stake and man been cruel and mean too and wicked. And the day that she comes to her demise, I'll shout and praise God and glory in Him. And I'm very prejudiced. Amen. Not very much in discriminatory about the thing. And I could care less for the Pope. He says he's the vicar of Christ. He says that he's taken the place of the Holy Spirit of God. And that old liar's been lying to people for years. And he don't even know where he's going. He has no assurance of salvation. And the reason he don't have it, he don't have salvation. So, amen. And I kind of get a little blustered over it. And when I get to where it don't affect me, I know I'm backslid or in bad shape spiritually. And they're coming out with their Bible and this old forbidden book, and it's been forbidden, and it'll be so again. And I wouldn't doubt if next year by this time that we might have to sneak off in the woods somewhere, because you better believe they got their eye on you. And they got their eye on this church and this Bible college. And what you believe, you can't live and do like other religious people and other Baptists. Because you're different. the Holy Spirit of God sanctifies His truth. And if you've got the truth, He sets you apart and you're different. Well, hallelujah. Well, let me read a little scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. And then we want to get to Job chapter 14. I've had more preachers get red in the face and walk in front of me and point the finger about this book of Hebrews. And it comes to no end that all of those people that it names there in chapter 11, every one of them was an Old Testament saint. You don't find a New Testament saint in there. And that's just wonderful. Hebrews chapter 12, 7 and 8. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith followeth, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. And then in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof was old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and will bring forth like a plant. Being a chronic preacher or something else, huh? And my voice, you wouldn't believe it. I used to be on TV. I had a TV program. Had a good time. All right, where was it? But through the scent of water it bud and bring forth, shall bring forth boughs like a plant. But a man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. I'll take my text there, latter part of 14, where it says, will I wait till my change come? 28 days ago tonight, knew it was going to happen. It was no strange thing. And I knew there's going to be a man that was going to die. And I knew his only son was going to die with him. And that night at the stroke of 12, this old man, pale and trembly and palsy, frail and ghostly, stood on the bleak and the icy hills of this old world, leaning on his decrepitude, lungs not breathing, heart barely beating. Sandals old and covered with mud and snow. And garments tattered and glistening with sleet and like a torn sheet that was put around his wasted form or his gray locks frosty and stooped and bowed, and strong men could hardly hold his frame up. Pulse quivering like an icy thread within the shrunken and chilled arms. And just a child of remorseless time. And that night his heart beat, just playing the funeral march to the grave. And in 12 bells, the old man died, and his last son, December, died with him. The year 2001 had gone. But the new year came. And I always pictured as a little baby with a diaper on. Everyone loves babies. It's because they're harmless. And that's the reason people love Christmas. Jesus is weak and effeminate, and you can handle him. And and so the little baby was born, and I love babies. I love children. Had the land once. I was wanting to have a home for children. It never came about, but it was in my heart, and I still love children. I know one thing. I can go down to the old rest home, and there are people sitting there in their decrepitude, and they're lonely, and the food is no good, and all kind of cultures, and all kind of smells, and you hear cries, you hear moan, you hear weeping, and one's burning up with fever, and the other's chilled, and they're sitting there alone with nothing but the memories of yesterday, and forgotten, forsaken, too old, who cares? And they can be down and griping and grumbling, but someone just come in with a baby, and their countenance, it'll lift, and they'll brighten up, and first thing they're talking in tongues to the baby, and kuchikoo, and so forth, and everyone just seems to love a baby. And I've been thinking about changing my name and calling myself Walter Baby. Maybe, folks won't be as rough on me. They see me come and they say, there's that old preacher. Old preacher. Thank God for being a preacher. It hadn't been 3 weeks ago, I had three old people. I mean, the locks of their hair looked like tattered sails of a ship going out across the ocean. And they were going out on the ocean of time, but three souls between 70 and 85. That last moment got saved. I like to see people when they get saved. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about getting saved. One old feller named Cassidy. And went to visit him in the rest home, and they called him Hopalong. And he had gangrene in one of his feet, and he didn't want to have his foot cut off. He'd rather die than get his foot cut off. And it'd been some liberal preacher over there that morning and trying to talk him into getting his foot cut off, and he cursed him and damned him and told him all he wanted was just to get his money. And I wouldn't doubt that. But I went in, the old man, and he looked at me. And I'm glad that he found out that I wouldn't like the other fella. I told him he didn't have to have his foot cut off. He could get it cut off and stay here and be miserable and hobble around, or he could get saved and get it cut off, and he could go where God's got hundreds of feet. Amen. And so he got saved.
And that's the only business in the world worth being in, is that business. But there was a babe born when the old man died, and it's already getting old and got one child that's about to die, and soon January be put away. God does have appointed time. And you're not going to be here forever. Who'd want to live in this mess forever? When you can go where every day's a holiday, and every moment's a jubilee, and every meal is a banquet, and where you'll never have to say goodbye to anyone again, and where they never lock the doors. A few weeks ago, I came home. I'd been gone 5 weeks, and I've been going and going. I told the preacher yesterday, I said, I'm so tired, my brain's not functioning. I hurt all over, and my back hurts, and that five pieces of shrapnel on that wrist, and it hurts, and where the doctors cut me halfway around, that hurts, and everywhere I've been bruised or battered or gotten a fight during my life, I can feel it all. I can feel it. And them young preachers going out, and I thought, thank God, the old man may be fading away, but I'm glad there's still some. There's still some that hears the call, and they're willing to go, and I know something about it. Young fella come and go in the ministry, and he's got a sweet, precious, darling wife, and they'll pick up those little innocent ones, and they'll go somewhere, and I know in just a few months and years' time that her hair's going to get white and gray, and him too, and they're going to be get feeble, and you know, and it's rough. God knows it's rough. I know what they'll do to them out there. I love preachers' children. I have three, and I know Joy when she was born. I named her. I called her Joy. And she was a Joy for 2 years, and then I called her Granny Grump. My children's been through it because their daddy's a preacher. I remember when Paul was going to school, pastored, and about a block from the parsonage school, I see her now, chubby, waddling, and she'd go a few feet and turn around by daddy. And I'd wave at her, and she'd go, my heart went with her. And I remember when she got in high school, and I thought, man, she's growing up fast. And I'd already told her, I said, look, if you ever marry an old ugly boy that don't love God as much money as I spend on your teeth, I'll never forgive you. And would you believe it? Later on, when she got married, she married an old boy from upstate New York, and here I was, an unreconstructed Johnny Reb, and I had to walk the aisle with a monkey suit on and give my daughter away. But Paula has lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, it twists all your fingers and your toes and your body, and you hurt. And on the inside, it destroys your organs. And one night I got a call, and she said, Daddy, I knew her voice. And I said, Paula, is everything all right? And she said, not doing good, Daddy, said. Had a bad day, said. You know, said Andrea, I couldn't even hardly get her clothes on to go to school. She said, Dad, Bob left me. And she said I didn't even have enough money for the checks, even if I could have wrote one. And she said, Daddy, I wrecked your truck. I only had one new vehicle in my life, and I bought a Chevrolet pickup. Because I'd had a Ford car, and you know, they got beautiful motors. Up and down the highway, everybody's got the hood up standing there looking at them. And I just wanted to listen to the heartbeat of America. And I said, that's all right, Paul. I said, God can give me another truck. And she said, Daddy, I wished I could just be a little girl again and sit on your lap and run my fingers through your hair and let you take care of all of my problems. But you know, she can't go back and do that. But I'm glad there is a new beginning. Amen. That the old can die. Oh, an old tree. Cut down. But for the sin of water will bud again. I know about 2,000 years ago, that thing through David, the lineage, Jeconiah. God took that J off, outstretched arm, took it off, and said he wouldn't stretch his arm out to him. And he said, oh, earth, earth, here, write this man childish. And so it's impossible for anyone to come through the lineage of David through his sons. Christ came into this world intellectually and theologically, it was an almost impossibility. Because the old tree had cut down and was falling. But one day, thank God, out there, insignificant, a little bitty sprout. Weak and small, begin to make its way. And God picked out a clean, virtuous woman. And through her, thank God, he continued the lineage. Amen. And unto us a son is born. And against hope, I'm glad that when the long day is ended, that on the morning, it's written, his compassions are renewed every day. Because you see, I've quit the ministry sometimes 360 times out of the year. And next morning, God somehow gets a hold of my heart. And how many times I've said, God, I've had all I want. Flesh and blood can only take so much. But you say, well, come on now. See, once I helped some folks, because I was tall, they thought I was big, but I wasn't big, I was just tall. Where Southern Dairies had a ice cream storage thing, and to help them put up a door, an electrical door, and you couldn't get in there with a pull-along. No way to get a lift under it. The only way you could get it, take a ladder here and one there, and a couple men get under that thing, and brawn and muscle. And I remember me and a fella got it, and I was on the end where the motor was. And said, I don't believe we can do it, but let's try it. All right, come on. Get under it. You're under it. Yeah. Hot. Lift. Lift. High. Come on. High. We can't. Yeah, we can. We set it down on the rungs of the ladder. We rested, every nerve trembling, sweat running down our face, and rested a moment, and he said, all right, you ready? I said, we'll try. And so here we are. Get under it. Under it. Under it. Come on. High. Come on. High. Don't believe we can. Yeah, we can. Come on. Little more. Little more. Little more. There it is. I never will forget. Hood came where I started church, had my name on $500,000. Go out in the morning, 2 days a week, and knock on doors and cologne up in the night and go by. Well, people went to work, got a cup of coffee for an old preacher and go in and talk with them. And never will forget, I had one lady named Nellie, blind in one eye. And she dressed worse than I did. You're talking about country and awkward. And she'd take a child, and 3 days she knocked on 298 doors and said, looks at my name, Nellie McKenzie. Said, Jesus saved me 2 weeks ago. And I want to invite you to come and hear my preacher. And I tell you, I'd rather have someone hired, countrified, saved by grace, female like that, than to have some of you that spend all your time down at the body and paint shop. Amen. Well, when we get to heaven, I see Nellie. I know I'll have to cut a lap or two around the throne of grace and bless the name of God. But Hud, we was in the center of that controversy, went before the Supreme Court, right in the center of it. And Hud come in and began to buy up the homes, and my folks started leaving, and on top of that, vandals tore up my new building. Went over one Sunday morning, chandeliers and all with the song books and the mic system and all to shambles, and they got up in the balcony and urinated off on the pews and burnt holes in them and tore up two nurseries and pampers and diapers and beds everywhere and windows knocked out. And on top of that, I had 6 people didn't like me for some reason. I don't know. I took a bath and used deodorant. I had to turn them over one day, and we did it publicly to Satan. And within 6 weeks, everyone had died. Blowed the brains out. The ringleader, guts busted and come out his nose, his mouth, and his ears. One said he'd been thrown out of better places than that, and he died screaming, wondering what he saw. My associate and wife was expecting, had one kid, and I gave him his salary for 6 months, and I didn't get a thing. But I looked after him. My wife was unfaithful. I took her back 4 times. I'd been overseas. I got a dear John from her. But I didn't know the scripture then like I do now. And I came home and I took her back to my regret. And out of it all, I just said, God, I don't want no more. And I'd gone and got a job at, back at Winston, 80-some miles away, and people don't believe an old preacher can work. And we was tearing the second story off a building. It's hot and the tar skin off my hands and you burn, and got laid off at Thanksgiving. You couldn't buy a job. Didn't get a job till April. $42 a week gave one kid 20 and the other 20. I lived off of $2. I don't know how he does. And I got a call, said, if you come back down, we got some money. But I got down, someone had lied. Lady, give me $20 to go home. And I know coming up the road, I said, Lord, that's it. I don't want no more. Flesh and blood can't take no more. And he said, now what? I said, but Lord, why just me? Why me, Lord? There's others. Let it be shared and go around. But he said, now walk. I said, get under it. Get under it, but Lord. Please, Lord, get under it. Yes, Lord. I've been getting under it and getting under it and getting under it. And I've been up the top of the mountain and I've seen the other side and I'm getting down close to departure time. And hallelujah. I'm glad in the dark night there's a morning. I know that midnight comes, but thank God every midnight it's not black. And what do we do till the change comes? We're saved. We bear His names. We have the image of God, which is Jesus. We have His DNA. We've been washed in it. We have His chromosomes. We have His genes. We have His Spirit in our heart crying, Abba, Father. And let me say, He's an everlasting Father. And when my daughter couldn't come with all of her problems as a little girl, and Daddy could take care of them, I've got one. I got one, thank God, take care of every heartache and every burden and every sorrow and every trouble, and He delivers, hallelujah, out of all of it. Well, and so while we wait till a change come, what do you do in the meantime? Saved. Names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Emmanuel and His book. That blood-stained book. Got your name written there. And man, no angel die. Try to take it out. No devil in hell or out of hell could take it out. Born of His seed. God cannot deny His own. What do you do in the meantime? When you're here in between things as they are and things as one day they will be. What do you do when you're between the living and the dying? When you're between time and eternity, you'll be between weeping here and where you'll weep no more. What do you do? You're caught between the theological and the existential. And though now we're in the valley, till one day we'll stand on the mountaintop. Though now, going through life as we're experiencing it, but one day it's going to be life as God has promised it. The dark clouds around us now, but one day we see the bright side, and the clouds will break, and the haze will lift, and the sun will shine. One day we'll go from this present life to that which is superabundant. When we're in between, we're standing in the storm and waiting for the storm to end. And we know one day that when the blackness is over, that God, who weaves a scarf of mercy into a rainbow and drape it on the storm, the shoulders of a dying storm, and peace will be still. We know that one day down there's a lonely tomb with an epitaph and a little man. But we know one day the hour's coming when all that's in the grave will hear his voice, and it'll echo and re-echo, and it'll reverberate up and down the valleys and over the hills and past the clouds. And man, the ether waves will take it up until it fills the universe. Resurrection of saints of God. Whole earth groaning and travail even to now for our manifestation. You know, environmentalist little worried about things. But I'm not worried. I know what's causing it. That old earth shakes and trembles and it rumbles and it groans out there waiting for the day that Brother Walter is going to appear as a child of God. Whew. Hallelujah. What do we do? Sitting in the hospital and longing for the time when you'll be healed. Maybe now you're wearing rags, but one day you wear a garment without any stain. Now you look and there seems to be no way, but you long to get to the end of the way. And you'll find your home. What do you do to then? Well, it's no time to be sitting down and moaning the blues. It's no time to throw in the towel and quit God. A lot of people, reason they have no spirituality and no prayer life and don't have enough influence to do anything spiritual, is because they know the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil.
That's right.
And they just want to be like Lot. Look for the green places and look for the luxury, and they want to be easily situated and luxury sound surrounded and difficult escaping. And to them, Christianity, it's not the main thing. It's something on the side. I know Jesus over there, little woman, didn't want to heal her. She wasn't of Israel. And he said, should I take the food of the children and give to dogs? And she said, but Lord, the crumbs that fall from the table, the dogs eat. And that day Jesus became not a dog, but as a doll for that woman, too. And that's the way a lot of people treat him. Man gets angry at his wife and something else, slam the door and go out on the porch and kick a dog. And that's the way a lot of people treat Jesus. If it's convenient, we'll pay the tithe. If it's convenient, we'll go to church. If it's convenient, once in a while we can be counted on. But in the meantime, kick Jesus. Kick Jesus. Treat him like a dog. Oh, my soul. Bible says Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we don't say it that way. We say, same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. Never comes. There's some people been aiming to just sell out and get in there and walk with Jesus. And when it's dark, sing. Reason my back hurts tonight. Had a lady, she lives below York, South Carolina, down on Turkey Creek Ridge Road. Back trouble, she had apparatus and help her get up and down. Doctors done so many cruel things. She called me crying and said, Brother Walter, would you pray with me? I said, I don't want to be a vegetable. And I said, all right, I'll pray. And I got to pray, and God said, you know that compassions mean to suffer along with. I said, yeah, Lord. But what's that got to do with it? I want you to heal her. And I didn't understand, but 2 days later, coming down a stairwell, some men on the landing putting big plate of glass up, 8 foot long, 41 and a half inches high, 3 inches thick. And boy had his hands under it on the rail and he's mashing his hands. He couldn't get out. He's screaming. And I turned around and lifted up and just shot my back. And so she was operated on and I was operated on. And when I got home, see, I'd lost everything. I lived in a little old house, had indoor water, but out yonder had an outhouse. All that little brown building. And it's snowing. It'd take me 30 minutes to get out there and over 30 to get back. For a year I delegated. I tried to walk in the kitchen and I couldn't. And I called her and talked to her, and she was up walking around. Doing fine. And here I was for a year. I told her the other day, and I talked to her. I said, you know, said, if I had to do it again, I don't know if I could. But I tell you what, I'd do it again if God would do what he did. I learned more Bible. I got more prayers answered. I had more fellowship. At night I'd make up songs and sing to him. Glory to God. For about a month there, every night I'd wake and her room be lit up and smoky, and it would be that thing that you can't describe. There's no words about the presence of God. And I laughed and I cried and I shouted and I hoped and I hallelujahed. Y'all gonna have to quit. But you know, a lot of folks, it's today. Yesterday's gone. It's today. And then it's forever. The other year had two people
One was a little blonde, about 9 years of age, and her name was Pam. And I don't know, they say blondes are fickle, I don't know, but I know she was beautiful. I never saw such beautiful blue eyes anyone in my life. And she had a profile, the ideal thing for some artist or some sculptor. Beautiful child. And she was running and romping with the other children. And then one day, she was sick. Her stomach, and had to carry her to the doctor, and they checked her, and she had cancer in her stomach. It already got into every organ of her body and in her bones. And her mother, sitting outside the doctor's office after she'd gone through chemotherapy and all this, her hair out and so pale, so palsy, so weak. And they were sitting there and her mother was crying, waiting for the doctor to come out and give the option. And she said, Mother said, it's all right. Either way it goes. Said, remember, Mother said, 3 months ago, Jesus saved me. Amen. Now, brother, she had it right. Amen. No sorrows yesterday. No desires today. No worry about tomorrow, because it's forever. Same week, had an old man up in his 80s, came down to get saved. And never had a man do that, dealing with him, praying with him. And the old man said, I will tomorrow. I will tomorrow. But tomorrow never came. And if some of you here tonight, you're planning on getting saved, but you're counting on tomorrow, when tomorrow probably be forever. Some of you have been able to get you some rewards and win some souls and be a testimony for the Son of God. May God help you not to keep saying tomorrow. That's enough preaching.